The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And boils came from the top of my head, under my
boils,
almost every part of my face. My eyes would swell shut, my nose, my mouth, my lips, all down my neck, all over my chest, all over my back, all over my body. And suddenly I had no friends, I had nothing. I went into darkness, I went into depression, and I just thought it would never end.
Jensen Franklin opens up about a pivotal time in his life next.
Best friends, as far as I'm concerned, on the planet, a great pastor, great preacher, Jensen Franklin, Free Chapel Church in just north of Atlanta. This is a man that's been used of God to cause the gates of hell to tremble. And he's setting captives free. And he speaks to leaders the unadulterated word of God in unconditional love. What I watch happening with this young man should cause every Christian to stand up and shout praise to God. Jensen, I just count it an honor to be sitting here with you. Would you welcome Jensen Franklin?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We're watching miracles, aren't we?
We really are.
And if we keep praying and the church will behave like a family, and stop discussing people and just pray for them and what they hear and just pray, God will keep moving mountains, and we'll start walking over the enemy instead of the enemy walking over us.
That's it.
And Isaiah said that day needs to cease. The tormentors don't walk on you. You walk over the tormentor, which means what? We don't walk on people. We don't walk on people who disagree or who we know or believe are wrong. We walk over the deceiver, the serpents and scorpions, like dust, the deception under our feet. And we shake the dust of unbelief from any source and any house off and keep following him. Well, Jensen talks about acres of diamonds. And let's be sure people do understand. I know you're going to talk about it, but boy, it takes a lot of pressure to make a diamond. Matter of fact, you can't cut a diamond with something other than a diamond because it takes something that has that equal strength and pressure. So you've learned something. So take off and take us on this journey, Pastor.
Well, first, let me say what an honor it is to be here with you and Betty. And you have been one of the greatest gifts God ever gave me was a personal relationship with you. I've said this to your back. I want to say it to your face because we have not many fathers. We have not many statesmen and elders and fathers who speak the word of the Lord quite like you do, and I've seen you do it to the most influential seat in the world. I've watched you say what thus saith the Lord, and a moment of awe and even stunned at the reaction that God would bring about when you speak the truth in love. I don't care who it is, they hear it and they respond to it. And thank you for doing that, for being that to this nation and to the world. And I so honor both of you.
It's an honor.
Friendship.
You know, and I don't mind being called a father. I have a daughter basically your age. And, you know, my youngest grandchild is 20. And then we got 6 great-grandbabies. I have 7 probably about the time you may be hearing us right now, because we're in a minute. But it's an honor for me to be like a father to a son like you in any way, because you are a bright light. And I can't even begin to tell how much I love you. And I watch the power of God flow through you to shake the gates of hell and to lift people up out of a ditch of defeat or depression or doubt and stand up like a mighty army. And I don't believe that's going to stop. I think it's going to intensify. All right, tell us about Acres of Diamonds.
Well, Acres of Diamonds, the best books to me are ones that come out of your own life experience. And when I read the story of Acres of Diamonds, which is a pamphlet that was published in the late 1800s, it was not a religious document, but there is a spiritual lesson that is unbelievable. And I'm just going to sum the story up. There's a man by the name of Russell Conwell. He, in the 1800s, went to the Holy Land. He wanted to see Israel, or the Holy Land, what we would call Holy Land. Israel wasn't a nation yet. But he was there, and he had an Arab guide who at the campfire would tell stories every night. And he told this story. He said, there lived, and it's a true story. And Russell Conwell took this story and he put it into a pamphlet. It sold 7 million copies in the 1800s without any marketing. And then he gave the speech 6,000 times by invitation, raised enough money to found Temple University in Pennsylvania that has over 40,000 students as we speak today. All of that came from one story at a campfire. Here's the summary of that story. There was a man in South Africa by the name of Ali Hafed. Ali Hafed worked on a farm by the sweat of his brow, hard work, with a plow, with an ox, with the hard sweat of his own labor. He lived in a meager cabin, and he did it decade after decade. One day, a traveler came through that area, and he invited him in to eat in his little cabin, and they began to talk, and he said, it's a shame you have, this traveler said, it's a shame you have to work so hard to provide when people are becoming instantly rich in India. They have discovered diamond mines there, and they're becoming fabulously rich. And it so got a hold of Ali Hafed's psyche that he began to become discontent with what he had. And he began to dream, and he said, I'm going to sell the farm. I'm going to sell the whole farm. He kissed his wife goodbye. He sold it, kissed his wife goodbye, told his little sons, I'll be back, and when I do, you'll be so rich, you'll sit on thrones. We're going to live an amazing life. He goes overseas. He searches and searches and searches, ends up in Spain, never finds diamonds, and in a tragic twist to the story, jumps into a raging river, leaves a suicide note, there are no diamonds anywhere. And it's a sad story, but this is where it gets amazing in a way, because the man who bought the farm is using the same plow, living in the same shack, using the same ox, working in the same fields. And while he's plowing, he keeps hitting these annoying black rocks that when the sun hits them just right, they have the colors of the rainbow. And he's throwing them to the side, stacking them in every field, in every acre on that huge farm. And they're annoying him. And he took one of them and put it on his mantle because it was particularly big and beautiful. And the priest, the local priest, came to welcome him and his family to the community. And as they were talking, he noticed that rock on the mantle of that little fireplace. And he said, where did you get that? And he said, they're all over this property. Every acre is covered with them. He said, sir, that is a diamond in the rough. Sure enough, that one rock was worth $25,000 back in the 1800s. Yeah. It became the birth of the Golconda diamond mine, the world's largest diamond mine. The Queen of England got the diamonds in her crown from that place. He became fabulously wealthy. And the point is this, that man who jumped into that river and took his life never realized that everything he was looking for out there, he was living in acres of diamonds. And how many people right now are so discontent with their life, all they see is what they don't have, what they wish they had. Somewhere out there, if I could have this, if I could have that, if I could get the car, if I could get the wife, if I could get this or that, I would be content and I would be happy. Never realizing that if you have Jesus Christ in your life right now, I mean, how long are we going to keep probating our joy? At what point do we really start enjoying and saying, this is the day the Lord has made? Everything isn't perfect in my family. Everything isn't perfect in my life. Everything isn't perfect in my finances. But I'm right now, I'm not in the hospital. I don't see any tubes coming out of you guys. We are blessed. We are blessed. We're living in acres of diamonds. And then the preacher in me just wants to go, that's exactly the story of the prodigal son. He was living in acres of diamonds in the father's house. And I'm sure he had friends who said, come on out here. Oh, aren't you tired of the Father's house? Aren't you tired of all that church and Bible and God and all of that? Come out here. The grass is greener. There's a party out here. There's fun out here. There's sex. There's drugs. And how many of our young people, they leave and they go out looking for acres of diamonds only to be devastated by life and come back at some point, thankfully, to the church and realize everything I was ever looking for, I had it in Jesus Christ in the church. I was living in acres of diamonds.
We've chosen to live in a pig pen with our choices when we could live in the Father's presence and shelter and Him prepare a table
for
us.
That's it.
One of the things that you tell really moved me in the book, and I've heard you tell the story. When you were a popular teenager, you had a real problem. That, buddy, that had to be one of the most painful experiences. But I know what ended up being shaped, and you tell that, would you?
Well, the only reason I'm in the ministry today is the way that a diamond is born. It's carbon, it's atoms that connect together under the earth, and it takes two things. It takes pressure and intense heat. It takes intense heat and pressure for a diamond to be born.
Absolutely.
And so that's the problem. We want to get up and run away from the pressure, away from the fiery trial. We want an easy, trouble-free, pain-free life. When if God is going to use you and do something with your life, you're going to go through a season of intense heat and pressure.
And oftentimes those seasons recur.
That's right.
To bring forth other diamonds in our life that
it's so
we
true.
Didn't even
it never stops. It's a process.
No, it's a beautiful process.
When I was 17 or 16 years old, I heard a preacher preach by the name of Ronnie Brock, Steve Brock's brother. You know Steve Brock.
Yep.
And Ronnie Brock preached. I was 16 years old. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I'm not an overly emotional person, but at the age of 16, which is a big deal for a teenager, you know, he's always worried, a teenager's always worried about everybody around. Sitting in the back of a service, this guy preaches, and I've never been moved. I broke and I began to weep. I could not, I was embarrassed. I was crying all the way through this man's sermon. And it was that night that I felt the call of God come on my life. I wouldn't tell anybody for 4 years, but that night at the end of that service, he had an altar call and he asked the young people in that room to come forward. And I went down to the altar with probably 200 other teenagers in this particular room. And I knelt and I was crying. I was embarrassed. I was crying so much. And I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, I want to preach like that. I don't want to be an ordinary preacher. I remember saying those words. I don't want to be an ordinary preacher. Whatever you do, don't let me be a mechanical, ordinary preacher that just gets up and says things. I want the anointing. I want what I heard and felt in that preacher right there. And it touched me. And I knew that I knew God had heard me. And I knew that night I was called. I didn't have the nerve to tell anybody. Within probably 6 to 8 months, something would happen. I turned 17, I'm in school, high school, finishing up high school, and boils came from the top of my head, under my
boils,
hair,
right.
boils almost every part of my face. My eyes would swell shut, my nose, my mouth, my lips, all down my neck, all over my chest, all over my back, all over my body. We went from doctor to doctor trying to get help. And this doesn't sound like a big deal, but when you're 16 years old and you start looking basically like a leper, it was humiliating. It was embarrassing. I lived a life of isolation. I thought it would be over. It never would end. It went on for over a year. And I stayed in my bedroom. They made special conditions for me to do my schoolwork. And I was isolated, depressed for 1 year. I went from being popular and running with, and I was starting to run with the wrong crowd, doing what teenagers are going to do all. And suddenly I had no friends. I had nothing. I went into darkness. I went into depression. And I just thought it would never end. It was in that time that God brought a woman by the name of Rachel Joyner into my life. And my parents, of course, were godly. But she began to give me verses and she began to tell me, Oh, Jensen, you have no idea how God's going to use you. And I felt the opposite of that.
How are you seeing this?
Boils and pain and hurt. But to make a long story short, it was in that season that about halfway through that year, I started reading my Bible. I started praying. I would seek the face of God like never before. And to this day, when I preach, to this day, most of my emotions when I'm coming up with a message or preaching a message, it'll go back to that season in my life where I hurt so bad, and it's because of what I went through that I can bring that message. And I can tell you, if you're suffering, if you're going through a trial, if you feel like giving up, there's acres of diamonds in your life, and the enemy's doing everything he can to take you out. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. God has a purpose for your pain, and he's going to use you.
What you say in here so clearly, really important to hear this. He went into hiding. But you know, a lot of times you go hide, you find yourself hiding in a place you never thought. He was hiding from others because of what he saw, but he ended up hiding in the presence of God.
Wow.
He's hiding in the balcony of the church under the soundboard.
That's right.
And he's listening to tapes of great messages. The Word of God is just being sown in this incredible pressure. And coming out of that, how long did it take before the boils began to go away?
It took about a year, and when it started happening, the amazing thing was it happened pretty quick when I got where I was supposed to be.
So when you came out, you realized that God had shaped something in you that the whole world is watching, not only at Free Chapel, but on all the media ministry and all the auditoriums and coliseums that you filled up, not only with people and many times young people, but the glory of God.
Right.
And it's gone out all over the world.
That's right.
So God shaped something in you. You're looking at somebody here who lived in a crucible of pain,
right,
and yet God shaped something worthwhile. This studio is full of people. If you'll just realize, God is shaping something beautiful in your life. I mean, most people say there's nothing more painful than losing a child. Or it didn't destroy our life.
Mm-hmm.
And her children are on fire for God. She's about to have her second grandbaby she'll watch from heaven.
Hallelujah.
Her daughter is so beautiful, she just glows.
Praise God.
I'm telling you, the glory of God is still shed abroad in our hearts because she so lived it.
Amen.
You say, but James, it had to just devastate you. I've said your prayers helped us. Let's love people who don't even know anybody cares. Let's show them how much God cares. Let's thank God for the pressure in our life, and let's let it shape diamonds in our lives. Do you thank God for this man right here that God has made a treasure? Jensen, you and I are going to walk as close together as is possible for two men living across the country from one another. But our hearts are like that, and I believe they beat in harmony with his. We want to get the whole church to allow their hearts to beat in harmony with his. That's when they'll find out.
Amen.
They're being shaped into a shining diamond. All of you who are watching, let me just tell you, we love you. That's why we're here. Better not on television together as a couple because we're looking for something to do. We're here because God set us here to call the family in the family room to help them get to know the Father and to show you the Father and Jesus in all these different people. We are servants. We're servants of everybody who walks through here. We're servants of everybody we see. Those of you who help us give water or food to the hungry and water to the thirsty or rescue those sexually trafficked, you're showing them the love of God. You're pouring out that love. It's an incredible river. You are being shaped. You like to have the book, it's in the bookstores. Let me just say this to you. This is the last week right now when we're emphasizing the importance of drilling the hundreds of water wells. We drill them one at a time. Betty and I committed yesterday we would drill one in a particular vision, a village where a little lady named Mercy had seen her child die, drown, trying to get water out of a hole. Please, watch closely. Just take a glimpse at what we've seen and know you're the miracle solution to the challenge you're going to witness. And I want you to make it a joyful expression. Watch closely.
These are just some of the diseases and ailments that nearly a billion people are exposed to every single day because their only water source is contaminated.
You know, if you were thirsty in Africa or in many of the remote parts of the world, you'd walk up to a stream like this and say, oh, I've got great water. But what you don't realize is in this area alone, thousands of people got cholera, serious, severe diarrhea. Many people, it cost them their children.
Our mission teams have seen these water conditions firsthand in several countries around the world, and they have ministered to families whose lives are torn apart by sickness and death simply because they had no other choice but to drink contaminated water.
And they can't do anything about it because it's all the water that they have. I just can't even imagine. This little baby is so precious, so beautiful. Her mother loves her so much. And I want to see this little baby live healthy because we've given some fresh water to them.
But there is a simple solution for these families, a clean water well. Life Outreach and its mission partners have the experienced teams and necessary equipment ready to drill hundreds of safe, life-giving water wells around the world.
I cannot tell you how happy this scene makes me. I mean, this is what love is all about, the fulfillment of seeing Life Outreach International water well right here so that these children can grow up and have healthy, happy lives. This is good water. Yes, indeed. And we want to do this over and over again. If you've helped us do this, thank you so much. James and Betty, I bet this makes you very, very happy. But the need is still great. Let's do this again and again and again till this is the norm in Zambia and in villages all around the world. Cheers.
Cheers, cheers yourself. Boy, we thank God for you. And all of you who are watching right now, those of you here in the studio, you're the ones that provide the miracle for so many. You know, Betty, we talked about the loss of a daughter. You were looking at that little child, and you won't give a cup of water, and talking about how precious that baby was to her. We know how precious every child is to parents. And you know, there's not a person watching us that wouldn't have driven all the way across the country if they could walk in the hospital room like you held up at clean water and say, we want all the children to have it. They wouldn't have come and said, this will make your daughter well. This will make, because all of you prayed. They would have done it.
Absolutely.
Well, we have the perfect cure.
We do.
And you know what? We can actually send the love by letting the missionaries know the resources are there to drill another $4,800 well, coming from $48 gifts for 10 people, water the rest of their life, 144, 30 people water the rest of their life. Some can drill a well, 4,800. Thank God for that. We said yesterday we would do that and provide that miracle. Most people, though, even who have a little bit more money, they can say, I'll give 1,200 and pray three join me, or 2,400 and pray one joins me and we got a well. I don't know at what level you come in, but in this week, Betty, I'm believing that every person watching this says, I'm going to step up. And I'm going to do something. I'm going to reach out and touch somebody with love that just changes everything. Because water for life is provided because of the water of life. And they're going to see the love of that relationship. And then we're going to point them to how they can have that relationship. Love reveals love. That's what we do when we give water.
Absolutely. And it brings us great joy to be able to show you what happens when you give of your love and your gifts to help drill those water wells. What great joy to see the smiles on those children's faces. And I know the smiles in the hearts of those mothers that so thankful for what you've done to them. You've given life to their children. So please join us again. Isn't it fun to be able to do something like this?
Yeah, you saw Sheila saying cheers, and we knew what she was saying. Boy, she's full of joy. Sheila, thank you for being such a blessing. And to every one of you, would you become the miracle mothers long for over there? You would have been that miracle for this mother if you just knew exactly what it was. Well, we know exactly what it is. They need clean water. We can give it to them. Would you please right now go get your bank card? Use that the way you should always use it, like it's a check. Would you go online or would you dial the number, make the gift today? You say, why is it important today? It's the last week for the emphasis. We've got to let the missionaries know the drilling rigs are coming to your area. Love has sent those drilling rigs. By the way, viewers like you paid for all the drilling rigs, and they were hundreds of thousands of dollars each. You bought them. They're there working. Well, we got to send them and pay for what it takes to drill the well. Would you right now please make that gift? Father, I pray every single person watching will give something in Jesus' name. Would you just do what he's leading you to do right now? Please do it now. We have some gifts to send you that'll bless you. You want Jensen's book? You make a gift. We're going to send you Sheila's book. and other gifts that'll bless you. Just say thank you. Thank you so much for doing it.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, disease-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life is the answer to a mother's prayer to save the lives of her children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. In her new book, Sheila Wall shows you how to reignite your conversation with God to become a strong praying woman. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Power of Prayer Bundle. This bundle includes a cozy throw blanket adorned with words of the Lord's Prayer, a decorative pillow cover, as well as Sheila's book. All three are encouraging reminders of how there's power in your faith-filled prayers. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, I'm really believing God not only heard our prayer and our request, but He's answering the prayers of mothers, families, and you're the miracle. Thank you so much. By the way, if you ever call and get a busy, be determined. Keep calling and make the gift God puts on your heart. I want to send you a blessing right here. This is my buddy, my brother. He kind of said I was like a father. I'd take him as a son. I'm just so thankful to be his friend. We'll send this to you if you'd like to have it. Sheila Walsh's book, Praying Women. She's believing God's going to have millions and millions of women praying this year specifically for the kingdom will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we'll send it to you to say thanks. Would all of you join me and Betty in saying thanks to Jensen Franklin? You're going to come back with Dr. Jeffers. We're going to talk about how the church shakes the gates of hell, okay?
Let's do it.
Thank you for watching. Don't miss the next program.
When we fill God's silence with plans of our own that don't work out, it's easy to feel as if we've blown it and there's no way back.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.